It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Chris Versace, who writes the corner of Wall and Main here at the Washington Times. And today's column is entitled, Portfolio Manager Navigates Choppy Markets. Ah, well, you're the guy who sifts through all of this stuff and tries to make sense out of it and then presents it to us so in a fashion that we all can understand. Let me start with a simple question. A bit of a stock market uneasiness this week, and why?
Hey, Andy, how are you? Uneasy? I think that's in a bit of an understatement. It's probably the worst week for the stock market that we've seen in several months. And really what we're getting is a combination of things. More companies that are reporting the results are missing the revenue numbers. I think about 60% of the S&P 500 companies have missed on the top line. We're getting yet another round of economic data that when we sift through it, you know, above the quote-unquote rosy headline, the internals, as we like to call it, are not that good. And I think that people are bracing for the election.
Mm-hmm. All right, debates are over, polling pretty close, and I guess that equates to people being a little nervous, as you say. I guess I should, simply cash in everything and run for the hills before we get to November 6th?
You know, that's tempting, but, you know, the problem is that if you do that, the likelihood is you're going to go under a rock and you're not going to come out, and you'll miss some terrific long-term buying opportunities. And you know, that's really what you need to distinguish between. You know, these choppy markets can make trading, in other words, short-term investing, very challenging. You know, up, down, up, down, up, down. But if we look over the long term, 12, 18 months, 24 months, turns out that choppiness could give way to some fantastic entry points into certain names, provided they have strong balance sheet, strong fundamentals, and they have the right, you know, customer base, product set, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. All right, so in your column this week, you interview a portfolio manager about navigating in these choppy waters you spoke of. Who is it, and how does he do it?
Well, it's the guys over at Pension Partners. I spoke with Ed Dempsey, and they have an interesting model where they simply use ETFs, and they kind of roll up their sleeves each and every week and re-architect what they're investing in. So to some extent, it's kind of a hybrid model of trading, but with ETFs. And the nice thing is that these guys have been doing it for a while. They've had very good returns, and essentially by allowing them to invest your money, you can sit back and go, whew, I don't need to worry about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because these guys are doing it each and every week. Now, to be fair to these guys, they do have great returns, but, you know, never should anybody give all their money to one particular group. I prefer to spread it around.
Yeah.
To the extent that you have complementing strategies at work from different groups of people. It just enables a better portfolio.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like anything else, I guess. You can assume that there are different risks for different people. A lot of it has to do with age, and I guess you look at different investments in that light. We know that interest rates are low and will be probably what you and I discussed it, into 2015, right?
Assuming that there's no change in the Fed's mandate, the biggest thing that could affect that, in my view, would be a pickup in inflation, which, you know, we've seen that to date. In the form of higher food prices, higher gas prices. But remember, gas prices are kind of backing off a little now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I get from that, though, is there's no real return on my money in a bank for 3 years. So the solution is to take more risk?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is that if you want to keep up with inflation at a minimum, you're going to have to look elsewhere than simply dropping the money into a savings account or a CD. You know, more traditional slash safe investment vehicle. So you could argue, and I think you're doing a good job of it, by the way, that the Fed is trying to push us into the market, the market being the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. Unfortunately, to date, the individual investor has largely sat out of the market.
Yeah. Huh. All right. Now, I want to take you to a piece you wrote for Red State. And you talk about durable goods receiving some data yesterday, right?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday and today we got two noteworthy pieces of economic data. One was durable goods, and then today was GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are problems with both. Yesterday the GDP headline was GDP up 9.9%. Woohoo! And then today the GDP number was up 2%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, woohoo! Better than expected.
Yeah.
The problem with both of those is that there is some, you know, there were some surprising elements to the data. So, for example, in the durable goods numbers, defense spending was up stronger than expected. And when we strip out that, when we look at the regular economy, it was actually so-so. In fact, it was actually flat with August. So not really growing, not very forward, if you will, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we turn around and we look at GDP, a real anomaly turned around. Government spending rose for the first time in 9 quarters.
Wow.
Okay. The prior 8 quarters, it's been falling, falling, falling. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's up. Very much catching people off guard. And again, when we strip all this out, the reality is that the everyday economy that we look at, the private sector, if you will, grew 1.3% in the third quarter. Exactly the same with what it did in the second quarter.
I got you.
Worse yet, a number of these releases regarding the overall economy, when we look at the revisions, they've only been revised one way of late, and that's down. So you could argue, wow, an interesting positive headline before the election. What will it be revised down to after the election?
Okay. Yeah, the games we play. All right. Now, between now and Election Day, you go on to say we're going to be getting some new data that could tell us more about the health of the economy. You mentioned the GDP that came out today.
Mm-hmm.
What else are we looking for?
Well, next week, there's really two big numbers. One is going to be income and spending, which will tell us really how the consumer is holding up. And then the last one is going to be the big one, in my opinion, that could make or break the election, and that's going to be the October employment report.
I got you.
And remember that, you know, despite the funkiness with the unemployment rate we've seen,
mm-hmm.
The number of jobs in the private sector that have been created were slower in September than August, which was slower than we saw in July. So, again, just kind of going the wrong way. And I think when we mix and match that with the durable goods numbers and the GDP numbers that we got yesterday and today, we see that business investment is slowing. I think that reflects a lot of concern about the global economy and a lot of uncertainty that we have going forward. And you and I have dished on that quite a bit, everything from the election to the fiscal cliff to the changing tax landscape and so on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that brings me to my final question. I've talked to you about this a couple of times, and you sort of just mentioned it. We're less than 2 weeks away. If Obama wins, we're looking at the status quo, and if Romney wins, what happens?
Well, I think it hinges on, you know, if either one wins, what happens with, you know, Congress? You know, if, in theory, if Obama wins and, you know, if Congress goes his way, then in theory, he should be able to do exactly what he wants to do, which in my opinion would be a little scary, because I can't imagine 4 more years of this stuff. on the other hand, if Mitt wins, it depends on what happens also with Congress. But I think that we'll probably get a relief rally.
Mm-hmm.
I think business will in the short term feel better. But the reality is that no matter who wins, we've got to sort out the fiscal cliff and how do we actually get something done rather than once again have these guys kick the can down the road.
Yeah. All right, very good. We'll talk again next week. Thank you, as always, Chris. Chris Versailles writes the corner of Wall and Main here at the Washington Times. If you need to get in touch with him, go to chrisversailles.com. That's V-E-R-S-A-C-E. Thanks, Chris.
Anytime, Andy. Thank you.
526, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT.